rejoice in God's goodness of putting things together. Every song that's been sung this morning has stated the statement that I'd like to say this morning. That that's on my heart has been sung. I ask the Lord to help me now to preach it. Have you ever felt like God just didn't even know who you were? Have you ever gone through a time when God was silent? You could pray and it's just like you was just wasting your time. You could read the Bible and it did no good. The Word did not seem to speak to you. There was no help, no aid, not even any conviction. There have been times in my life, unfortunately recently, that I have just said from my heart, I don't know if I used the same words, I think probably did, but I just wanted to say, Lord, do something. Do something. Don't just sit there, do something. If it's conviction that's needed, convict. If it's chastening that's needed, whoop me. If I need to be dressed down, do it. If I need some comfort, some help, if you just want to be tender to me, whatever I need, do it. I mean, just do something. Don't just sit there. And that's kind of what David's going through. That's what the songs have suggested. When it seems like the Lord's silent, when it seems like that you desire is not happening, that prayer request that means so much to you has not yet been answered, that burden has not yet been lifted, that need has not yet been met, and it seems like God somehow has forgotten about you. David is experiencing that. It seems to David as though God is avoiding him, that he's hiding and he can't be found. Job experienced that. Job and others, and David and others, these are not the only men of the Bible who have experienced that. They called on God and God seemingly no response whatsoever. I am convinced that one of the worst, maybe the worst, one of the worst things a child of God can experience is to not sense God, to not hear from Him. I mean, we desperately need Him. We are weak and unable and inept without Him. And when we can't find Him, when He seems like He's not speaking, when you just want to say, God, do something. Don't just sit there. That's where David's at. What do we do when God is silent? What can you do when God is still? We do not know the occasion of this psalm for certain. Some have suggested, echo their sentiment, that probably it's when David is running from Saul. You understand, David has been anointed king. Samuel has come and anointed David as king, and David knew he wouldn't get the throne right then, but he thought he would get it sooner than he did. And when God had Samuel anoint David as king, something happened to Saul, the king. King Saul somehow went berserk. The Bible said it like this, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And Saul became a madman. So here's Saul on the throne, and he knows David has been anointed for that throne, and he doesn't want to give it up. So he attempts to kill David. He throws a javelin at him, and David escapes, and David runs into the hills. He's living in caves. He's living out of the wilderness, just barely surviving. And even though he's been anointed king, Saul's in the palace, and Saul's on the throne. David's experiencing the difficulties of the wilderness, and Saul's living in the palace with all the comfort. David is seeking for food and looking for water and trying to stay alive. And Saul's enjoying the servants and the comfort of the palace. So David turns to the Lord and says, Lord, speak to me. God, do something. And he hears nothing. God is silent. God refuses to move. Look in verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? In this short psalm, David repeats this phrase, how long, 3 times. He says, God, how long are you going to let me go through this? How long will you be silent? How long will you stay back and not intervene for your child? David does not think he's special. David does not assume that he is somehow high on God's list and somehow he is so good and so godly that God ought to spring to his assistance just because of who he is. He knows who he is. He knows he's flesh. He knows he's unworthy. He realizes he doesn't deserve God's mercy, but he sure does need it. And he asked the Lord, Lord, how long? How long are you going to sit by and watch me go through this? How long are you going to let things stay as they are? He's saying in essence, Lord, do something. If I deserve punishment, punish me. If I've done something to grieve you, deal with me. Strike the blow. Whip me now. Let's get it over with. Take me to the woodshed. Do something. But if I haven't grieved you, will you please help me? Will you help me? How long will you let me go on? How long do you forget me? It is as though to David, God is oblivious, that he has forgotten him, that somehow God has ignored his child, ignored his saint. But you notice what word he uses when he calls to the Lord. He says, oh, Lord, that is the Hebrew word Jehovah. That speaks of God's power. It speaks of him being all-sufficient, self-sufficient. David knows who God is. David very much is aware that God is able. He knows God can, but God isn't. Have you ever been there? We know God can. We know he's very able. He could touch the situation and make it disappear. He could answer the request right now and have no trouble doing it. He could straighten out the problem without any effort at all. We know he can. We know he's able. We know he's sufficient, but he isn't doing it. If he can, why doesn't he? If he knows me and he knows what I'm going through, why don't you move, God? That's David's cry. Lord, please do something. Do not remain silent any longer. How long? David has suffered long and he sees no end to the matter. We do not know how long he'd been hiding in caves. We do not know how long he'd been running. We do not know how long the episode has had. We don't know how long he's been there, but it had been longer than David wanted. And I want to tell you, when you're in misery, when the devil's fighting, when the flesh is in force, when you're going through a battle, the night seems so long. The battle seems so long. And David is saying, oh God, hasn't it been long enough? Oh Lord, do something. Do anything. But please don't stay silent any longer. Don't stay still anymore. Verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? He said, how long shall I take counsel with my soul? The word counsel has the idea of getting advice, of going to someone who knows more than you, who has information you don't, who can tell you what to do. He says, I have sought counsel with my own soul. He says, I lay awake at night and I think about it. And I think, what can I do? How can I get out of this mess? How can I solve this problem? How can I make things better for myself? He lies awake at night and wonders, what can be done? What have I missed? What can I do I have not yet done? He searches all night, and it says, daily I am in turmoil. Daily I am discouraged. He says, I try and find a way out, but there is none. I try to devise some method where I can relieve myself of this burden, but I find none. All my plans are empty. All my plans end up at a dead end. Everything I can think about does no good. I have sorrow in my heart daily. And he mentions, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? To him, it looked like the enemy was winning. And to me, it looked like the enemy was winning. I mean, David's hiding in caves, and Saul's in the lap of luxury. Saul's looking for David. He sent out soldiers. He sent out regiments. He sent them throughout the country. David's hiding, doing the best he can to survive, living in water and living on water and bread, if he can find bread, just barely staying alive. And Saul again is in the palace. It seems to me, like David, that the enemy is winning. You ever felt like the enemy of your soul is winning? You ever felt like the devil has the upper hand? You ever felt like you're defeated and he always wins? Oh, the flesh always gets the best of us. That's what David's saying. He's saying, my enemy is getting the best of me. Oh, God, will you do something? I need you. I need your help. To the saint who knows that God can help them, but he isn't yet, that's a difficult thing to go through. When you want to say from your heart, kind of like David, saying, oh God, I know you love me. Oh God, I know you care. I know you know what I'm going through. You're able, but will you please do something? Don't sit there any longer. Don't stay silent any longer. Don't stay still any longer. Oh, God, do something, whatever it is. Anything's better than nothing. That's what David's crying. We found in verse 1 and verse 2 an answer requested. He's saying, please, will you answer me, God? Why are you silent? Why won't you move? In verse 3 and verse 4, an answer required. As bad as it has been, it gets worse. Verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He says, God, if you don't help me, I'm going to die. Suddenly the request has become urgent. He is aware of his condition. You notice what he said? Consider and hear me. The word consider says, look closely. Examine. Look closely. He is saying, God, will you please just look at me? Oh, God, will you just look at where I'm at? Lord, look in my heart. Look at my life. Look at my circumstances. Oh, God, look at me. You know me. You know my situation. Will you please be moved by what your servant's going through? I do not understand, and I never will. And I'm not meant to, and neither are you. When God allows his people to hurt and stay silent for a while, I do not understand the reasons. The songwriter just sang it. It is well with my soul. He wrote that after his daughters died. Four daughters. Well, I'm going to tell you, I do not know why, but I know this. The good God of heaven never makes a mistake. David says, will you please move? Will you please do something? Verse 4. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. That's David's heart. He says, I don't want the enemy. I don't care if they make fun of me. I don't care if they're mocking me because I'm running. I don't care what they say about David. Used to be so powerful and he used to be so mighty and he used to think so much of himself. Now look at him. David says, I don't care if they think about that in relationship to me. But what does burden me is that they might dishonor my God by seeing where I'm at. They may say, hey, look at that David fellow. I thought his God loved him. I thought he had a mighty God. I thought he said God answered prayer. I thought he said God took care of his children. Look at that, David. If his God is so great, where is his God? David says, Father, I'm not just praying for me. I'm praying for your honor. I don't want to be a disgrace to you because of me, but I don't want to be a disgrace to you because of where you've allowed me to go. He's saying, I want you to answer. I don't only want it, but I need it. Look in verse 5. Suddenly, things are changing. You don't hardly see it. There's no bright light between verse 4 and verse 5. The words are not written in red. The words are not all capitalized to where you notice, hey, something's different here. Something has happened. Something in David's life has changed. But if you look, something has changed. We first mentioned the answer requested. He says, God, will you just answer me? Will you just speak? Will you do something? But then the answer required. He said, if you don't help me, I'm going to die. This is more than just a desire. It has become a need. This is just something, this is more than just something little. This is something vital. But then we see an answer received. All of a sudden, look in verse 5. But, don't miss the buts in the Bible. There's a big change with that little word. But I have trusted, oh my, in thy mercy, he hath dealt bountifully with me. You got to look close to see it in the words, but you didn't have to look close to see it in David's heart. Man, I'm telling you, he has come to the point to where he is saying, God, do something. I don't care if you have to whip me, whip me. If I'm here because I've done wrong, deal with me. He knew he hadn't done wrong, but if there's something he'd missed, he said, God, show me. Show me. Don't stay silent. Don't be still. Do something. But if I'm here and I haven't grieved you, why don't you help me? Why don't you help me? Do something, God. Help your child. Answer the prayer. Meet the need. Do what? Hey, I'm desiring something good. This is not selfish. This is something that would bring glory to you. And then in verse 5, he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. All of a sudden, faith stirs up in the heart of David. He has been down in verse 1 through 4. He has been grieving in verse 1 through 4. He has been wondering and doubting and afraid and fearful and fretting in verse 1 through 4. But in verse 5, he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. All of a sudden, God stirred in the heart of David, and David said, I can trust you no matter what. And those words seem so empty to us. But it didn't to David. That request that you've been asking God for so long, And there's times that you just think I just won't give up. God hasn't moved. God hasn't answered. It hasn't happened. I just think, why in the world pray again? Why ask him again? Why trust him any longer? And then all of a sudden in your heart, the Holy Spirit says, oh, keep on trusting. Pray again. The answer will come. You can trust me. All of a sudden from the inside, hey, David's circumstances hadn't changed a bit. David's situation hadn't changed one iota. He's still in caves. He's still barely surviving. Saul's still on the throne. The change happened in David's heart. And the God who had been silent spoke. And the God who had been still moved. And the words are almost unnoticeable. But what you read in the words tells a dramatic story. David's heart has been changed. David's attitude has been changed. All of a sudden, he knows, I can trust him. I will trust him. He is trustworthy. He is dependable. He is a God of mercy, and he will not do me wrong. A man who has been in distress now is in delight. A man who has been doubting now is depending. A man who has been down has been pushed up by the work of God in his heart. He had almost given up hope, but now there's a fresh expectancy. Now there's a real faith. Now there's a trust from the God who he still has not yet heard from, audibly, of course. But in his heart, God has done something. His good God has moved on his heart and delivered him from the fear. Now, I want to tell you something. There's times we'll experience the same thing. It seems like God isn't hearing. Look on to verse 6 before I make these comments. I will sing unto the Lord, because he have dealt bountifully with me. He said, I'm going to sing to the Lord. Hey, he's been complaining to the Lord. By the way, that's all right. It's all right when you say, oh, God, I need you. Oh, God, this problem. Oh, God, this need. It's fine to complain to him, but it's not right to complain about him. And David said, I'm going to sing unto him. That that's gotten real in my heart is too big to keep inside. All of a sudden, a doubting heart has become a delightful heart. All of a sudden, he says, I know I can trust him. God has done something in his heart. And he's not the same. I'm glad for several things. I'll mention them. First, David knew when God wasn't there. He was familiar enough with the presence of the Holy Spirit that he knew when God wasn't moving. I wonder if we do. Do you know the difference between emotion and the Spirit? Do you know when he moves? Do you know when he's not there? Are you aware of his silence? Do you know him? David did. David knew he wasn't moving. David knew him enough to know that he was not stirring. He was not speaking. I need to say this. There are times when his silence is our fault. I'm talking about when God doesn't speak. When God is silent, when he doesn't move, when you don't sense him stirring. When you want to say, God, do something, anything, do something. Don't leave me alone. Sometimes his silence is our fault. It wasn't David's. David had not sinned. And that's why he was going through what he was going through. But there's times it is our fault. Do not expect to hear much from God when you're in sin. Do not expect much stirring. Do you hear me, Rick? Rick, don't expect much from God when there's sin in your life. Don't be surprised when God doesn't stir. When it's your fault. When you've walked your way and done it your way and ignored God and done what you please, don't be surprised when God doesn't say anything. When he doesn't move, when he's still. It wasn't David's fault, but it can be our fault. I thought about this. It wasn't that God didn't care. David said, "Will you please look at me? Will you look at me? Will you look at your child? Do you see what I'm going through?" But it wasn't that God didn't care. And when he doesn't move, when he doesn't answer, when he doesn't solve the problem, when he doesn't take care of the vital need, immediately it's not that he doesn't care. It isn't that he doesn't love you. It isn't that he doesn't care. It's not that he isn't aware. He doesn't know it. He knows you. David said, "Look at me, consider me, look closely." God already knew every detail of David's life better than David. And he knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. It isn't that he doesn't care or that he isn't aware. It isn't that he isn't able. God could have solved David's problem instantaneously had it been his will and his timing. And God can answer your request. God can meet your need. God can show you the way. God can take care of whatever you're facing. He can. He is able. So why hasn't he? Have you ever felt like telling God, "God, do something, anything. Anything's better than nothing." It may be that we're depending on ourselves still. Well, I want to tell you one thing about David. You look through these verses, you'll find no pride. He's begging God. And he doesn't care who hears him. He doesn't care who knows about it. He needs help from God. And he, in agony, moans to a God who loves him. There's no pride in that. David knows my only hope is God. My only hope is him. If he doesn't help me, I've had it. If he doesn't move, there's no hope. There's no pride in that. And any time we're depending on ourselves, literally until we get to the end of ourselves, we won't let God really help us. We have to try everything before we realize everything we tried does no good. It's just human nature. The person who has learned to trust him first has gone a long way in this journey with the Lord. The person who knows without even going through the trouble, "I cannot, God must, or it won't get done," has come a long way in the journey with the Lord. We still depend on ourselves. We still try to work things out on our own. And God says, "I'll make sure it doesn't happen. As long as you're trusting yourself. I'll make sure it doesn't happen. As long as you're trusting anybody other than me." I want to say we can rely on him no matter what. Sometimes we're wanting the wrong thing. The request we have is not in God's will. The desire we have, as real as it seems to us, is not in God's will. And if it isn't God's will, he won't grant it. Even good things sometimes just aren't God's will. David gets to the point of despair, and that's when he gets help. Bad place to be. Peggy sings a song. "It's almost to the point, place of despair." Well, I want to tell you something. If you have men in the place of despair, you remember it. If you have ever come to the point of desperation, it doesn't matter what it cost. It doesn't matter what God asked. Anything is worth it to get out of that feeling, that anxiety, that problem, that trouble, that place, that dark place, that empty place, that helpless place. Boy, David came to the place of despair, and when he came to the place of despair is when he got the help that he needed. This is a cliche that can be unbiblical, but it is also biblical. the darkest hours right before dawn. That's true spiritually. When you say, God, you got to help me. Please, you got to do something. Move. Do something. Do something. If you have to whip me, whip me. If I need to be chasing, chasing me. Do what you got to do. If I need to be heard, hurt me. If I need to be encouraged and strengthened, just you know what I need? Do it, Lord. Please don't sit by silent any longer. Don't stay still any longer. The answer comes, but it's according to God's timing. I don't understand that. I do in some way because there's some things we have to learn. And if God gave us everything we asked for quickly, we can get spoiled and get used to it. Forget to even thank God. But I want to tell you, when it goes long and you've prayed a long time and you've dealt with that need a long time and you've tried to handle that problem a long time, and it comes now to where it seems like God isn't even listening, and you realize your only hope is God. My only hope is God, and now He isn't moving. You'll cry from your heart, God, please do something. Move somehow. But the answer came in God's timing and God's way. I want to say this. I think it's true. The greatest blessings come to the greatest mourners. I believe that. The people who have been broken, the people who have been desperate, the people who have been without long enough to where they're desperate now. And they cry from their heart. I have two good preacher friends. I have searched the truth of it, and I believe they're right. They say often, when I talk to them, we're begging God. But I thought, begging God, I'm not sure there's faith in that. Begging, I'm not sure that there's believing in that. I've come to the point where I realize at times, we got to beg God. Not that we don't believe Him. Not that somehow we don't trust Him, but we are so broken, we are so desperate, that from our heart, like David, oh God, you got to do something. If you don't do something, I'm going to die. Rachel got like that. Give me children lest I die. Jacob got like that when he was wrestling with the Lord and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Getting to the point where we say, I got to have you move. I got to have you answer. I got to have you. I can't stand it any longer. I believe one of the greatest, if not the greatest, affliction for a saint is when God stays still. But it's needed. It's needed. There's times we must get to the end of ourselves more often than we think, I promise you. He is silent for a reason. He has something greater in mind by waiting. The song just said it. You're 4 days too late. Oh, no, you're not. You're right on time. Every song that's been sung went right along with this message. I want to say this. I think maybe I'm done now. This entire psalm, all 6 verses, every word is a prayer. It starts with David in agony. It starts with David in despair. It starts with David saying, God, where are you? You haven't spoken to me. You haven't moved. You haven't helped me in my problem. You haven't straightened out the situation. But even worse, you're not even saying anything to me. It starts there. But David doesn't stop praying. He keeps on praying. When you don't hear God, keep talking to Him. When He has not yet moved, keep on talking to Him. When He has not yet answered the request, keep on requesting. Keep on talking. David kept talking to the Lord that he couldn't even hear. He talked to a God he didn't even know was around except by faith. But he kept talking. And God answered. You may not feel Him. Keep on talking to Him. You may not see one thing moving as far as your situation. You keep on talking to Him because He's the helper. Your only hope is Him. And it comes to the point where you say, God, please do something. No matter what, do what I need. You'll be the good place. You'll be a place where you finally hear from Him. Well, let's stand together. I've shot both barrels in the shotgun today. I hope something's been sunk in your heart. It has not been long that I said, God, please do something. If you have to whip me, if that's what I need, whip me. If I need a blessing, bless me. But God, please do something. Do not remain silent any longer. I